Okay, so it might sound like I'm heading into crazy land here, but some people really do believe this. However, I have to admit that if asked to choose between Bill Gates being a criminal mastermind bent on world domination, or COVID being part of an evil plot thought up by aliens living on the dark side of the moon, I'd go with the aliens. Trust me on this, Bill is not out to get you. And finally, 5. Isn't it my right not to be vaccinated? To be honest, it's not clear whether saying no to vaccines is a basic human right, especially when your alleged rights end up being someone else's wrongs.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Today, May 21st, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Wasn't going to do a show today, doing a very specific and focused show on just one thing that I absolutely couldn't believe, even in what's happening today, with the way that they framed this, the way that the words they used, and how obvious this is. The little clip I just opened up there was about a video being shared with children about why they should trust the vaccine. And just Bill Gates isn't out to get you. Trust me. Because we know how that just, you know, sounds like. It's just funny when people tell, trust me. He's not trying to steal from you. Trust me. It just reeks of any word you want to use there. Very suspicious. But the funny part of it is the second part where they go, you know, sometimes we don't know whether you have a right to refuse vaccines. But your rights essentially, you know, your supposed rights. Like, this is a concept that I'm going to show you about, not just today, but in future shows, that there's this classic, constant attempt to undermine the Constitution, your rights in general, even though many of the politicians out there use those things as they see fit to benefit themselves. It's a constant reality, and they're undermining it in every possible way they can. So, and this is telling children, no, your rights only work insofar as they don't infringe on somebody else's anything. And that's what they're pushing right now. We're going to touch on that a bit today, just a touch, but specifically about a Bloomberg article and something they tweeted about how forced vaccination, not just mandatory, but forced vaccination may just have to happen. Why? Because you don't want that thing, right? Who cares about whether it's needed, whether you're actually in danger, whether we can show that this thing is unapproved or experimental, doesn't matter, because Bloomberg's decided that it's best for everyone. So now they're saying, well, we should force people then, right? At least, what do you think? Always putting it out there so other people can go, yes, that's what we need, as if that wasn't the entire point. Like that mainstream person saying the other day, like, well, how are we going to tell the difference between people with masks and people who aren't vaccinated? Well, of course, you know, you already know why you're posing this rudimentary question, because you want your viewers, you know, your very intelligent bad viewer base, to jump in there and go, well, it's vaccine passports, obviously, you know, and that's what they want. They want you to go tripping over yourself to fall into exactly what they've always planned. And don't forget what is fake news right up until they're literally happening. This is something I've been saying about vaccine passports specifically. This is constant that they're saying fake news, not real. They're never going to do that. That's just a threat. They're happening. It's already here. It's long since happened in Israel. So we're going to talk about this specifically today and a few other things around it. And of course, since this is the Daily Wrap-Up, I'm going to make a couple of quick points in regard to what's happening in Israel and a couple of other small things, but this will be the primary point. And most likely this is going to be a short-ish show. It could be really short if I wanted it to be, but here I am rambling in the beginning as usual, right? But it's going to be a shorter one, so take notes, get this out there, make sure this information is shared because it's very important. Now, we're going to start off with one quick thing I wanted to share. I'm hoping that we're not losing the stream already. Man, let me know in the chat if this is lagging like it is for me. I mean, if it's lagging on my end, that's not a good sign. Anyway, I guess we'll continue forward. Let me just close a couple things and make sure, see if that's even the case. It shouldn't be. Apologize for the delay here, guys. Let me close these real quick. I just want to make sure this doesn't lag. It seems like, of course, this topic of all things in a short show that I want to get out quickly, of course it's going to lag. looks good on there. Okay, I'm going to keep going. For some reason, on my end, it's hard for me to even see what's happening, but I'm just going to power through. But I wanted to share this really quickly, something that Star Wilson made, and I just thought it was fantastic. Just to, you know, by the way, Star is going to be doing some new exciting things for T-Lab as well, with a couple new platforms that she's going to be working on, sharing clips and different things at T-Lab. But I just thought this was pretty cool. She's made this today. The T-Lab team, bringing truth back to journalism. You know, just it's really I'm proud to say that I'm a part of something like this, and proud to say that this is something that is, in my opinion, changing what's happening today very clearly. So appreciate that, Star. But I also want to jump into Israel really quickly and make a couple quick points for people to know what's going on. Now, this is exactly what we expected, and exactly what Robert and myself both told you would happen. This is after the so-called ceasefire, which, by the way, has happened more times than I can count. And this is what always happens every time after these supposed ceasefires. Guess what? Israel's police stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque, by the way, which was exactly what started this to begin with. And if you actually look into the information and look at the real video from on the ground, as opposed to just what Israel's government tells your government and then tells the media and they tell you what happened, it's all very clear. Even the New York Times has actually admitted that this is where this began, which we're talking about specifically, even going back to Sheikh Jarrah, I'm mispronouncing it or not, I believe it's correct, the town where this started even before the Al-Aqsa Mosque began, when they rushed in and shot innocent people and cut off their loudspeaker. And it was obviously incendiary. And it led to violence, which led to Israel doing things, which led to rockets flying, right? And that's not always how this goes, but that's how this started. And even the New York Times pointed that out. Now, after the ceasefire, the next day, surprisingly, not at all, Israel does something else, which they hope, in my opinion, or specifically their government, specifically Netanyahu, will hope that this will cause something, a rocket. That's my opinion. And all I said is this is punitive and petty Israeli government action in the face of an embarrassment, because that's what this was, a very clear embarrassment. As Robert says, Israeli occupation forces attacked the Al-Aqsa Mosque. By the way, Whitney and I are going to be talking. I know I keep saying that, but we really are putting this together to talk about a lot of stuff, including hacks, but and you know, the DHS and things we've talked about in the past, but specifically because of this, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and in important discussions about prophecies and things that are very relevant to all of this today. That's coming soon. He says, why? Because this is their way of looking strong after the ceasefire. It also risks provoking another reaction from Gaza. Not even half a day, and they broke the ceasefire. Understand, this is just because it's not happening with Gaza, specifically, this is a violation of the ceasefire. But that this is always what happens. And this is where I thought I had a tweet for this. But so this is an overview. We're just going to go 10 hours back. Israel's prime minister just out of nowhere saying, we're going to do things if another rocket flies. What do you think that means? Usually a rocket's going to fly and hit the field, and then you're going to see 30 more bombs hit Gaza. Historically speaking, this is what tends to happen. But the ceasefire has held. There hasn't been rockets. So why then speak up and say, we threaten you. If you do anything like a rocket, we're going to do stuff. Well, obviously, everybody knows that. You've already shown that. So this is laying the narrative, in my opinion. 9 bodies, including a 3-year-old child, found under the rubble that was created by the Israeli government, right? They're still pulling bodies out of the rubble, right? That's not how we're seeing the situation in Israel. Just recognize the obvious one-sided situation here. And as always, don't forget, they have the right to armed resistance because it's an occupied territory according to the United Nations. That's international law. So it doesn't matter. They're illegally present, the Israeli government. Israeli police stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque, firing tear gas, which, by the way, is also a war crime because this isn't wartime. Which, you know, or technically I reverse that. I always make this point. It's absurd that tear gas is allowed to be used on civilians, but not during wartime. That's ridiculous, but that happens all the time. So I still fear that that is completely illegal, wrong, immoral, but also remember that Israel uses things in their tear gas that's not really tear gas. And that's been proven 1,000 times over. And by the way, we're starting to see similar things in the United States, which is quite unnerving. Egyptian delegation arrives in Gaza, and this is the delegation that we're supposed to be, you know, brokering the ceasefire. Israeli, which is frustrating because I don't find Egypt to be an even partner, you know, a mediating partner at all. They're clearly one-sided. Israeli police attack worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque. Right, this is continuing. This is not because of anything other than, I mean, this is just how it began in the beginning. They're trying to make this out to be a riot, but these are people, you can see the videos for yourself. There's innocent women in there with their phones and you know, during this, the first one was during Ramadan, which is, it's just insulting across the board. But anyway, the point is this goes forward. And now in Sheikh Jarrah, the place where this actually started, they're screaming about harassment, We don't sleep. They are actively doing things to people here still. And this is why this actually began. They say they have placed, they're under siege by Israeli authorities. Is that sound like a democracy to you? These are people that are literally illegally occupied according to the UN. But let's pretend like this is okay. The occupation is still there, on and on. Gaza ceasefire. There's zero plan. Well, of course, because the plan is to make Gaza look like the bad guy. That's the only point in all of this. Of course, UN is telling you, well, they have serious, significant trauma, medical needs. The Israel doesn't care. Hamas is selling itself as the savior of the Palestinian people. This is just another note from Al Jazeera. What are they saying here? And it's important to remember, by the way, that even Robert and plenty of people have pointed out that Hamas is not necessarily, it's just because you support the Gaza people doesn't mean you have to support everything Hamas does or their political beliefs. But regardless, it doesn't matter because we keep telling you that they have the legal right to armed resistance because Israel is illegally occupying. But to bring this forward, as I said, it's hard for me not to engage in this conversation. Even the Saudi Arabian king is condemning Israeli aggression, which I don't really buy as legitimate the way this is all gone. This is just trying to make it seem like we're on the side of freedom. But this is ongoing. Now, here is Gaza. Just in case you wanted to see the reality of the situation, this is what you're seeing on the ground. And trust me that you will not see the same thing in Jerusalem or anywhere for that matter in regard to this back and forth. This is a very one-sided aggression as it usually is. Now, you know, I'll leave this for you guys to watch for yourself. The link is in the video, is in the actual article itself. But just look at this, guys. I mean, this is civilians. This is all civilian areas. This is, just imagine this is wherever your town is. This is three blocks away from your house. This is a civilian area. This is a crime. There's no way around that. And then you add that they're illegally occupied according to the UN, which continues to mean that they have the right to fight back or, in fact, fight. Not back, just fight, to fight against an occupier with armed resistance, according to the Geneva Conventions. But here they are demolishing civilian homes and apartment buildings and international media buildings and on and on and on. And your government doesn't care. It's just pretty wild to realize how okay they are with this kind of overtly illegal activity. Well, then they make up things about their bad guy adversaries that aren't actually real, that we've proven. Now, jumping over to COVID-19, and this is the point. I just had to include that stuff so you guys understand where this is still at, because I don't think this is going away. And I do have an article from Robert that's probably going up today that I'll be working on. But bring it over to COVID-19. 1 in 3 excess deaths in the United States, not directly caused by COVID-19. Now, I want to start with this quick point just so we see this is just another example of how the narrative is slowly dissipating. You know, I mean, think about where this started with 3.6% death rate. Everyone's going to die, bigger than the Spanish flu, blah, blah, blah. Or excuse me, the Kansas flu, which is where it actually began. You can look that up on Wikipedia. And every single part of this, from lockdowns to masks to how actually serious it is, to whether people are really in danger, to whether they actually need any kind of treatment, it's across the board falling apart. Here's another one. And we've already shown you this, by the way, that in general, I mean, here, you know why this stood out to me the most? Not only because we're continuing to see this illusion go away, even as they ramp up the claim for the necessity of treatment like vaccines for people that don't need it, which makes no sense, is that guess what the number is? Healthcare disruption, of course, they're talking about lockdowns, which they blame on COVID-19, but are really government action, and emotional crises may have led to around a third of the 225,000 excess deaths in the United States between March and August. Okay, you know why that number stands out to me? So this is more than one place has reported this. And what they're telling you is that at least a third of those deaths, it amounts to 220, a third of the 225 are not COVID-19. And this is by multiple people researching this from different angles. So the reason that interesting number stands out to me is because that is the number that was just dumped on, I think it was January 1st, 2021, when, weirdly enough, the death was just pretty much in line with every year before this, give or take a little bit. And then weird, the next day, it was like, boom, 200,000 plus deaths just dumped. And we were like, oh, now it's weird. Now we have a pandemic. Now, does that mean that's automatically false fake news? No, it could have been real. It could have been any number of things. But it's suspicious, is it not? Especially when it was added, just like, you know, similarly, like the election discussions, right? Just kind of dumped into it. Then we find out as we go forward, more and more of those are being pointed to as, well, not really COVID. So were they COVID? Was there really an excess? I mean, think about how interesting that is. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't some excess death. I think what this shows you, like the rest of it, that there was, and it was caused by government action. It was caused by a lot of things, including a severe flu season, or just a regular flu season, or a regular pneumonia season, or numbers that were there. Now, when you get into the excess death discussion, that, in my opinion, is because of all of the horrific things that we have done to ourselves under the guise that this was a problem. Just my thoughts. Look into it for yourself. But now, before I go forward, I just find this to be hilarious. Now, this is written by James Kingsland, published by Medical News Today, but on top of all of that, fact-checked by Rita Ponce, PhD. Okay, so now writers of articles themselves need fact checks to work for them before they publish. Isn't that what the writer's supposed to do? Isn't that what the editor's supposed to do? Yes. So this is just to make you feel nice and fuzzy. Oh, we got fact checkers. Okay. Well, where's the fact checker to fact check the fact checker? Well, because it's the same logic of fact checking the writer who's supposed to fact check his own work. So are we not fact checking the fact checker to make sure the facts they're fact checking are correct? It's just dumb. It's my point. It's obviously just to give you the illusion of, well, that other website, that independent one, doesn't have fact checkers to fact check their own writers who are supposed to fact check their own work. They're fake news, right? That's what they want you to think. This is an illusion, as it all is. You are the fact checker. You are the person that should be checking information. Writers, right. And they're supposed to be doing their due diligence, and the editors are supposed to make sure things are correct, like I do. But they make mistakes and they can lie. So just because Rita Ponce is there doesn't mean she couldn't lie or make mistakes. It's the illusion of being sound and tight. Like, because they say fact checker, you know for sure it's absolutely correct. That's not true. Fact checkers, as we've shown, are catastrophically wrong all the time. And actually today, I think that's because they are dishonest. But in any case, I think that's a hilarious point, because you're going to see this everywhere going forward with mainstream media. But as it says, some people who never had the virus may have died because of disruptions caused by the pandemic. And of course, disruptions mean like lockdown. This is just this euphemism they use so they can pretend the COVID-19 caused their death that were caused by lockdowns that they instituted that weren't necessary. But of course, COVID-19. Quote, these include people with acute emergencies, chronic diseases like diabetes that were not properly cared for, emotional crises that led to overdoses or suicide. You guys know all this. We've been reporting this for a year. The researchers found a significant increase in recorded deaths from dementia and heart disease. Interesting that it's dementia specifically, because they even mentioned that a second time, because don't forget the eugenics air around all of this. The dementia patients in the UK that were forcefully vaccinated weirdly ties in with today's show, or the fact that we've seen, you know, people with learning disabilities in the UK, specifically it was England. 60% of all the deaths were people with, was it learning disabilities, I believe? I forget now. I'm getting fuzzy on those details as we go forward. But constantly, I mean, think about how crazy that is. 60% of people they're focusing on this. It's incredible. But the bottom line is that they are telling you that if you are with a learning disability, or if you are suffering from something in the UK specifically, that you're not supposed to be treated. We told you about the do not resuscitate orders for people who are just learning disabilities, like dyslexia. Why in the world would that even make sense to not resuscitate somebody because they have dyslexia? Well, you connect the dots. Now it says in June and July, coinciding with the second surge in COVID-19 cases in some states, there was a second increase in deaths due to dementia. Again, they had a surge all of its own, they're claiming, due to just people having dementia. How does that even make sense? How about it's more likely that people with dementia were treated in specific ways that led to a spike in their deaths? I don't even understand. I mean, dementia... as far as I understand, it doesn't even necessarily lead to death. Maybe I don't understand the full process of it, but it's weird to see what they say, a second increased death due to dementia. I don't know about that. Now, I was going to show this later, but I think I have it. No, it's not the right one. Oops. Where was that? I'll come back to it. I have the video that I've had in the past about the forced vaccination in that nursing home, but I'll get to that in a second. Dr. Wolf believes that the pandemic may also have indirect effects on mortality rates in the longer term. Rates of preventable early deaths may increase in the coming years as a result of disruptions in chemotherapy, disruptions, again, for cancer, delays. Actually, I find that to be a huge benefit. Nobody should be using chemotherapy, in my opinion, in routine mammogram screening and breast cancer, for example. But it's all the other things, including diabetes and on and on and on. It's as many people who survived the pandemic. I love that. Survive the pandemic. What they mean is just live through this, not necessarily get COVID and survive, but just exist through this process and come out okay. You know who else does that? 99.7% of the people. Yeah, but we all survived, right, guys? Woo, made it. We'll live with lifelong chronic disease complications. Imagine someone who developed the warning signs of a stroke, but was scared to call 911. Why? Because they, remember, the mainstream media used fear to convince you that this was necessary. We just reported on this yesterday. I actually deleted that, and then I was like, I'm not going to need that today, but I'll show it to you. Says use of fear to control behavior in COVID crisis was totalitarian. The scientists who did it admit in the UK, right? They know they did this. So people that were scared to death to call 911 because of something else were lied to. And we know that now. The person may end up with a stroke that leaves them with permanent neurological defects. Yes, exactly. The point being, if a third of these deaths, a third of all excess deaths in the United States, they're already finding are not COVID-19. What about all the other ones in that other two thirds that were PCR false positives or misdiagnoses or claimed deaths for death certificates that weren't actually COVID, but just associated with COVID? On and on and on. You see where we're going? It's very clear that this number is not what it seems. And even if I would have said in the beginning that a third of these were actually misdiagnoses, they would have said, fake news, you're deleted. Well, here we are yet again, finding out that that is the case. Here is the study itself they're pulling this from. I just want to point out, or one of them, I just want to point out 2 points it lists in here. You know this stuff too, but just to get this in your mind before we go into the irrational push for forced vaccination. Three states with the highest death rates, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, accounted for 30%. 30 in just those three states. And specifically, when you get deep into it, actually very specific certain areas within those states, which makes it even more ridiculous, accounted for 30% of U.S. excess deaths, but had the shortest epidemics. Why does this not the most? This shows you in and of itself that the numbers were just kind of evening out and averaging for everybody, including the fact that the vast majority is over 70 with comorbidities. It becomes obvious this is not even close to just with these numbers to what they're saying. Then you add in a third of the deaths, which aren't even COVID. Then you add in the PCR false positives. Then you add in the combination of flu and pneumonia, on and on and on. This is such an obvious illusion of what's really there. I mean, we're using their facts to point that out. But 30% in just those three locations, that's obscene. And what they're showing you guys, what it says here is the increase in absolute deaths in these states relative to expected values range from 22 in Rhode Island and Michigan to 65% in New York. 65%. How in the world can we pretend like this is the same everywhere? It's not. Three states. Now, the next part. It says, although total U.S. death counts are remarkably consistent from year to year, U.S. deaths increased by 20%. And again, even there, now I'm not saying we should just pretend that's fake. I have no reason to believe that's fake. But again, these are numbers coming from entities and institutions that are easily manipulatable from the people that want to manipulate things. I mean, we've shown you this. I mean, look, we're watching this happen in real time. So just take that at face value, always with a grain of salt, but increased by 20% during March and July 2020, just in that time frame. That's interesting, right? COVID-19 was a documented cause of only 67 of those cases. So that's 67%, excuse me. That could have been a slip for the podcast. 67% of these excess deaths. So that, again, is the number. It's a huge shaving off, but then also that a vast portion of those are easily going to be PCR false positives and on and on and on. Right. So just recognize that even the concept of how many deaths they're using to justify that this is an emergency are right now falling apart in front of you. But they are 30 steps down the line pointing at the vaccine passports. People that already believe we're in danger will not come back and look at this stuff. We are on the front lines of a very, very serious battle here, guys. And I'm not even trying to insinuate violence. I'm just simply saying that we are in a battle for humanity. I know people keep saying that, and it's not hyperbole. What they are doing, as James Corbett pointing out in all the different directions with bio-digital convergence and all of this stuff, is where this vaccine passport leads, with the nanotechnology involved, with the nanolipid particles and everything. I'm not saying it's in, like, you injected, then suddenly we're there. What I'm saying is it's a means to an end and is a step in the direction of what they're trying to accomplish, and we need to stop that. At the very least, if you have a choice, then things are different, right? If you're being forced, then this is going to rapidly escalate in that direction. If they're saying we want you to do this, we'll coerce you. I'm still very not okay with that. But the moment you cross this line into you have to, it's what we've always been telling you. And this is when it becomes very, very serious. I mean, it's already obviously very serious, but this is a line that's being crossed here. Not because we didn't already know they were going to do this, not because they haven't already suggested they want to do this, but because what they're saying is specifically, Bloomberg, we may get to the point where we must force people. Now, that's very different than coerce people, bribe people, societally and financially manipulate people. That is talking about holding people down and forcing people in jail. Now, whether they meant that or not, that's what that means. Words mean something. And so when they pretend like, well, no, you're taking out of context. No, that's what force means. Okay. Force, if we just want to be very specific about it, force literally means strength or energy as an attribute of physical, or specifically we go to, I had this up earlier and I should have just kept that one up. You know, the one we're looking for, the specific idea of, you guys can probably see this actually too. I forget whether you can see this pull up. Make a way through or into by physical strength, break open by force. You know, the other one I had was better, but in any case, we all know what force means, right? This is the kind of thing they're creating today by making people doubt facts and reality. But here we are, Bloomberg telling you on their Twitter feed, we may need to force people to have this experimental unapproved injection, which I already know people are going to lose their minds about just by that being in the title. But those that watch this channel already know that this stuff is easy to prove, which of course I will point out later in the show, that they're very obviously experimental and very obviously unapproved. But people don't know that, which by the way, in this very document shows that means they're violating informed consent, but who cares about that, right? But let's jump right into this article. What happens when vaccine incentives aren't enough? Like, first of all, why is this even a normal thing? When are suddenly now vaccine incentives are just like a commonplace occurrence? This has never happened before. Like maybe in the most mild reality where they, you know, I can't even honestly think of any situation I've ever seen where they like give you something for getting your vaccine other than maybe like, I don't know, you guys tell me, like flu vaccines and something. I'm sure there's been something. But to see this as such a normal concept that you're going to get bribed to take something that they claim is for your best interest is just crazy to me. The moment we saw money or free tickets or ice cream or any of these things, it becomes obviously manipulative. Now, you can argue manipulative is not even necessarily a negative thing, right? You can manipulate, anyway, you get my point. But so it is nonetheless manipulative. They're doing something with the aim of getting you to do something that they want. That's manipulation, good or bad. And why is that happening? And why does that make sense to anybody? I mean, we have to realize here that right now, people are refusing those, right? People are refusing the bribes. So this is why this is happening. So you have to understand that the way this is developing very clearly shows you that there's only one right choice in their minds, that you get the vaccine and that's the right thing to do. That means they already have decided that you don't have a choice. They're just going through their motions. If every time you talk about this and they're talking about you as a vaccine hesitancy or, you know, vaccine, whatever they want to call you, if you felt like that for 6 months now, and they're still focusing on you and trying to call you and trying to send you documentation or trying to incentivize you with bribes, they're not happy with your choice. You don't get to say no. They're going to keep trying to push you until they get that done, because there's an end game here. Whether that's because you believe they actually think they're driving for herd immunity, despite the evidence already showing, if you believe this concept in regard to what this does and whether we've already had natural immunity or whether COVID is even here, based on the actual information, it shows you that we've already reached 50%, which means the vaccinations or injections that have been given would put us over 70, but they don't care about natural discussion, which shows you it's not really about immunity. This is all very basic. I mean, this is what's so infuriating about the whole topic. But if people are refusing the bribes, that means they're taking this to the next level. And that's why this is being laid out. This is setting the table for rationalizing what they're about to do next. Now it says compulsory shots are unpalatable, but maybe necessary. This is on May 16th. Now it says, when much of the world is still desperate for COVID-19 vaccinations. Now, even that right out of the gate, it's like, is that even the truth? I know they really want you to think that, but based on the actual uptake, it does not seem that way. And that's why they're writing these articles, because people aren't taking it to the degree they wanted it. But we're so desperate, and so we need to force people, though? So if much of the world, you see the point, it doesn't make sense. Much of the world would imply some kind of majority, which would mean herd immunity. But no, no, no. We're going to force you to, or at least consider doing so, because most of everyone's already done this or wants it? Obviously not. So first, not even the completing first sentence is already a misrepresentation. A handful of wealthy places are beginning to have the opposite problem. Hong Kong is one. Despite a free and easily accessible program open to all adults since April, like that's all it means, right? Well, it's easy to get. Why wouldn't you take it, right? It's like they write from a place of assumption where there are certain things taken at face value that like the vaccine's good no matter what, that we know it's completely safe and effective no matter what. So because we know those things, and then they write the article. That's not what journalists do. You should be, if this is a discussion of whether this thing should be forced, wouldn't one of the primary points be whether or not it's actually safe? But they don't even, it's just, we already know these things, so you're crazy for not doing it. That's not journalism, that's propaganda, and that's what all these people are. But it says, despite a free and easily accessible program open to all adults since April, only just over 10% of the population of 7.5 million has had both injections, with low rates even among the oldest. So you get what they're telling you? That Hong Kong, even the old people are going, screw that. 10% of the population, that's it, just over 10% are saying they're getting this thing. That is because people are terrified of this, because they see that this is alarming. They see this is rushed. They see that it's experimental and that it's unapproved. It's crazy to pretend like that means they're all a bunch of conspiracy theorists. Are you actually arguing that 90% of their population are either conspiracy theorists, anti-science, fake news maniacs, or are then taken by those people? It's just crazy. Again, you can't argue simultaneously that we're a bunch of fringe people in our parents' basements, and that's why we shouldn't be taken seriously. But yet then we're also somehow overcoming the entire medical apparatus of information. Totally makes sense, right? Can't have both, guys. Now it says the combination of political upheaval, distrust in government, and success in keeping caseloads low makes Hong Kong an unusual, even extreme example of reluctance as seen in studies of attitudes to other control measures compared to Singapore and Malaysia. Two points to make here. One, if their caseloads are so low, why do they even need this thing? You see, what they're trying to create is an illusion, and this is not even a secret, that nobody anywhere on the planet is safe until everybody everywhere has herd immunity. When did that change? When did it suddenly become that, like, what about the flu vaccine? Why? I mean, isn't that the same thing apply? Why wouldn't we say that nobody is safe from flu until Canada or Mexico or everyone else in the world is safe with herd immunity? Well, that never happens with the flu shots, clearly showing you that we shouldn't be listening to everything else they're talking about, right? Every year, it's the same thing. And every year, it's barely over 30%, if not 5% effectiveness. Well, let's keep pretending like we're doing well. Now, there are some years that they claim it was over that. But the point is, there's plenty of years where we've seen the numbers where it's wildly ineffective, if that's even true at all. But the point is, we don't need this thing if you're not in danger. The caseloads are low. You don't need it. But they're going to tell you that you have to get it because your neighbor might get sick and that will come over and then you're not ready and then it'll come all around again. Right? So unless Hong Kong has herd immunity, the United States is still unsafe. That's what they're trying to say. That's crazy. And also the point is Singapore and Malaysia. Oh, you mean like the places that are struggling, right? The people that are getting vaccinations and are doing all they're supposed to and yet still having spike. Like, good thing they should be doing what they're doing, right? As they sit over here with low caseloads. Doesn't it show you obviously that they're staring at somebody who is doing what seems to be the right thing based on the results they're getting, and then places that are doing what they're telling them to do, but it's not working. And all they're doing is going, why aren't they doing what they tell them to do? They're putting everyone at risk as they live in a situation that's far less risky. It's just simply narrative, guys. It's dogma. And the media either knows that and are lying or are just a bunch of talking head morons that go along with what they think is right because they don't know anything. But the territory is far from alone as the rich world shifts from shortages to indifference. Shortages, right? They keep running with that lie, right? So how is it that we have shortages yet no one's taking it? So you mean you are that underprepared? So even 10% of the population is taking it, you're still having a shortage? What? You're either that wildly incompetent or you're lying to us, right? I mean, this is the joke. We're not having shortages. We're not taking it. It says, well before enough people have been inoculated to allow safe reopening, as if we need to have only injections for people before we can reopen safely, despite the fact that it has a 1.14% death rate, that most people have basically zero risk from this, but yet we need to be injected with an unapproved experimental thing before we can safely reopen. No, everybody honest with themselves knows this doesn't make sense. The excuse me. And then also, the reality that the lockdowns themselves that they're claiming are why we should keep in place before that happens are what are actually hurting everybody on top of the masks and everything else that they're using. Catastrophically so. Oh, and don't forget that the WHO continues to say that that's not what they should be using, even though they censor people like us for claiming that we're countering WHO guidelines.
I want to say it again. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it. Just look at what's happened to the tourism industry, for example, in the Caribbean or in the Pacific, because people aren't taking their holidays. Look what's happened to smallholder farmers all over the world because their markets have got dented. Look what's happening to poverty levels. It seems that we may well have a doubling of world poverty by next year. We may well have at least a doubling of child malnutrition because children are not getting meals at school and their parents in poor families are not able to afford it. This is a terrible, ghastly global catastrophe, actually. And so we really do appeal to all world leaders. Stop using lockdown as your primary control method. Develop better systems for doing it. Work together and learn from each other. But remember, lockdowns just have one consequence that you must never, ever belittle, and that is making poor people an awful lot poorer.
Well, clearly that's working well for them, right? And as they openly and overtly challenge the WHO guidelines. How dumb is that? Right. I mean, they're doing it anyway, and they're doing it as their primary means of control, and they are hurting people. Doubling of world poverty. And we're going to pretend like, do you understand the information that used to be discussed about the increasing of unemployment or like the increasing of world poverty is a dramatic increase in death, mortality. It's an obvious association, but we're going to pretend like the hypothetical threat is more concerning. The combination of political upheaval, distrust in government, and success in keeping caseloads low. Oh, I just read that. Where are we down here? Oh, no, that was the same. I guess I just hadn't read further. Oh, that's where we are. Okay. But the territory is far from alone as the rich world shifts from shortages to indifference. Well before enough people have been inoculated to safe reopening, the question arises of how governments push populations, manipulate you, if, or probably when, clearly has their agenda already in mind. Hints, cash, free burgers, or even prospect of international travel prove insufficient to reach herd immunity. The vaccine rate of roughly 70% or more that's necessary to protect everyone. So even right there, they're allowing a goalpost move. Like whatever you end up saying, 70 or more, whatever Fauci says. Isn't that great? But the reality is that that's, hypothetically speaking, under their narrative, already reached. Just like plenty of other places, and they don't care. And what they're saying is until we reach that based on just the discussion of how many injections we've given, that's how they're gauging this. Even though they then say, we don't even know if this has lasting immunity. So what's the point? If we don't know whether this has it, why are we pretending that translates to herd immunity? It's just there's so many dumb parts about this where it's their own discussions show you why this doesn't make sense. But the social media, the social engineers, the propagandists of the mainstream, just they know their talking points. They know what they're supposed to tell you and supposed to make you think. That's not a reality. And even they will tell you that. It's uncomfortable to argue for you know, making jabs, injections obligatory. Of course, they always do this when they go, oh, you know, they make it sound like they kill. Of course, it's uncomfortable. But let me explain why none of that matters. We're going to do it anyway. Right? Like, why even say that? Because you want to make it sound like you're weighing it both ways. You're not. This is an article about why we should force people to do things. It says, yet, if we don't get to better levels once vaccines are fully and freely available, which they have been for a long time, and the levels are only gauged by vaccination or injections, some degree of compulsion may well be necessary. Right, a crime, they're saying. A crime may be necessary. It may be necessary to criminally force an injection that's unapproved and experimental on people so we can feel better about this illusion of some distant herd immunity that won't exist because we don't even understand how this thing properly works. We don't know whether it has herd immunity. It's stopping. Look, they've already told us it doesn't stop transmission. I've shown you that multiple times. It does not stop transmission. This is a fact. What we keep showing you. Here's the NHS telling you people who have been vaccinated are not completely protected and can still spread the virus. Okay, so what are we talking about? It doesn't make any sense to pretend that could lead to herd immunity, at the very least, that we would do that under the hopes that it would, possibly. if we know, as the NIH just said, that we have lasting immunity just from COVID-19 alone, from natural, you know, no vaccine. We know that, as even the NIH said in January 26, 2021, why are we pretending that something that we know doesn't stop transmission and something that we don't even know has lasting immunity, and on top of that, something that is shown to not even work properly for people with underlying conditions and immunosuppressive drugs? And so we have this huge open million person plus category of people that we don't even know if it's going to work for, if it even does at all. But sure, let's skip the natural one that we know works based on the NIH's statements in lieu of something that's completely uncertain. Because why? Because this was always the point, getting this in your arm. That's my opinion, but damn if that's not being very clearly shown by everything they do right now. It says the benefit is too great and the risk and sacrifice asked of citizens is too small to ignore. Okay, so here we are, taking at face value, like I told you, that the benefit of this experimental unapproved injection is too great. It's too great. Or specifically, the compulsory injection of that thing, he's saying is too great. The benefit that we haven't even fully defined, that we're still investigating. Or the risk and sacrifice asked of you is the benefit's too great and the risk and sacrifice is too small. So the risk and sacrifice is too small. How about the fact that we're still finding out the risks? We're still studying whether this thing causes things. How can we then pretend that we know what the risk and the sacrifice would be? Or how about the fact that we have children that are at 0% risk and we're going to pretend like that is a sacrifice worthy of them to take something that we know for sure can cause a blood clot? I mean, here's the way they're playing this, guys. And here's the important thing to realize. Healthy people are not risking or harming anything. This is the illusion they're creating, right? If you're healthy with no sign of sickness and no indication that you're going to get sick or are sick, doesn't mean you can't, but in that moment, you are not sick until proven healthy. That's not how this works. You are a human being with free self-determination, free choice. So the point is they're telling you that you're putting others at risk by simply existing. And it is the sacrifice is to take this thing that can put you at risk for everybody else. This is the thing they're trying to lay out. And this is, of course, we'll get into the UNESCO document next to show you that that's a crime against international law too. But it says the Nuffield Council on Bioethics, don't you love that? Bioethics. Like, this is a document about actual bioethics because they write and tell you that this stuff can't happen. But I love that this group on bioethics then says, it's what says that the Nuffield Council on Bioethics in the UK calls it an intervention ladder, ranging from do nothing to eliminate choice. That's not a joke. The Council on Bioethics is saying that we might have to just remove your choice from you. But they're all about ethics, right? The Council on Bioethics for Nuffield is a joke if they're even considering the concept of eliminating choice. Because you'll find as we get to here that this thing very clearly tells you that that is not possible under international law from the United Nations. But, you know, we'll listen to this weird council that's been put together to make, in my opinion, justify, or not put, I mean, I don't even know how long it's been around, but it's being used to justify what is overtly discussed as a crime in international law. This is how the US government works, or the UK government works for that matter. This is how these groups work. The good news is that there's still plenty of room for such options to nudge people along. How Hong Kong could certainly afford to dip into its fiscal reserves, a generous incentive of 5,000 HK, $640, the same amount offered under a plan to stimulate consumption in the United States, would cost a little more than $4 billion if all eligible over 16s are counted. So you're going to bribe, collectively, every single person in your country to take something that you claim they already know is for their best interest if it wasn't for the conspiracy theorists. Why would you need to bribe everybody if it was for their best interest? A bit over 1% of gross domestic product and a worthy investment, considering the damage dealt by COVID closures and restrictions. Right, because COVID-19 closed restaurants. COVID-19 restricted people's rights, right? The virus was walking around holding people down, wasn't it? No, your government did that based on an illusion of something that's not really as dangerous as they told you it was. And remember, they admitted that already. They lied about it. The scientists admitted they lied about how serious this was to get you to believe you needed to do these things. But yet here we are, pretending like we're still in that danger that they just admitted wasn't real. Isn't this crazy? I mean, this is wild that this is even happening. It says, unfortunately, encouragement isn't likely to get us all the way to herd immunity, right? No discussion of natural. This is about getting people injected and then manipulating them to do it to a statistic they can argue leads to herd immunity. No discussion of whether those actually end up creating antibodies that do that, or the fact that we know that it's been proven, and I'll read this in a moment again in a second, that it doesn't for a lot of people. But so we'll just pretend like it does, though, because we like vaccines. It says, here is the important point, too. Unfortunately, encouragement isn't likely to get us all the way to herd immunity, or not in enough places. There you go. The point is that they need, in their minds, the majority of the world to have gotten this, or we just don't have herd immunity. What happens if we have 100% herd immunity in the United States and no one else has any? They're telling you right there that this doesn't stop. I mean, I just showed you the tweet from the State Department saying we're going to be going after COVID-19 globally. What that means is we're going to be forcing vaccines on people all around the world. That's my opinion. Not in enough places. At what point this is a shift again. We've never done this before where we need to make sure that the country on the other side of the world somehow has enough herd immunity, whatever that means in the way they're talking about it, which will, again, I can tell you, it means shots in arms. They want 70% of people to have this fully done. And they're going to pretend like they're good. They're good now. Even though you have people catching it right after, spreading it right after. No, we're continuing to see transmission. Half of them don't have the antibodies. But yeah, it's all good now because they got the injection. So what happens then, it says? Leaving aside employers, interesting, where arguments are different, it's acceptable for a government to consider disincentives, mandating vaccines for activities like eating or even going to school, as already happens for childhood shots in many places. Vaccines are the greatest gift to the public health after clean water. Yeah, this guy doesn't have a bias in his discussion, does he? Should we consider an even tougher line? Obviously, that's where you're writing to, bud. But what's funny is that they're telling you, leaving aside employers, like that's the one that we're not supposed to, that's a sacred look we can't talk about. They can't do it. But wait a minute, that's literally everyone that's doing it right now. The government hasn't done it yet, but businesses all over the country, schools all over the country are forcing people to be vaccinated. We've already seen this. They're not allowed to work. They are not allowed to be. I mean, you could argue that they could just quit, but fine. What if they don't have the opportunity? What if they don't have the ability to just quit and leave their job? They got bills to pay, families to feed. They know this is a gross violation. But then they go, well, that one aside, isn't that incredible? But then it says vaccines are the greatest gift to public health since clean water. Now, first of all, let's realize that just by broadly saying vaccines as a category, of course, they're arguing that means all the ones before, except the fact that this one is a little different, though, isn't it? A little different. A little different technology, a little different effect, a little different everything. It's a new experimental unapproved technology and injection that has all sorts of effects in your body. And the data from VAERS and everything else is showing you that that's a concern. 20% of the total reported information since the beginning of this database is right now associated with COVID-19. 20%. But yeah, it must be a bunch of fake news, anti-science conspiracy theorists lying all the time. At the very least, that's what they're going to leave it with and never look back. But Is this injection the greatest gift to public health since clean water? I mean, arguing that vaccines itself is the greatest gift since clean water is alarming to me, and the way they're trying to associate this with something that is a necessity of life. You understand? Full compulsion, which implies fines or even prison time, as opposed to simply not getting a benefit or public service, isn't easily embraced. Yeah. For me, that's less because of arguments around personal liberty, because we know how little these people care about the Constitution and your personal rights, than because of the deep polarization in many societies, including the U.S., that would only worsen such an approach. Oh, so we're more concerned about division amongst societies, right? Like there might be some kind of racial inequality. Like that's more important than the fact that you're literally violating the foundational document of the country. God darn it. What is wrong with these people? Clearly this guy knows he has an agenda. No matter, it's very obvious. But that in and of itself is almost like a treasonous comment to be like, well, we don't care about your liberty. Not treason necessarily, like unless you were to act on it. And like literally, well, I guess even then. But the point is that may be a little bit of a strong word, but it's definitely counter to what we believe we are. Even that these politicians claim they are when they get voted in or elected in or, you know, cheated in, however you want to look at it. It says, but the harm principle, and this gets interesting, also suggests that intervention is necessary when there is real or potential injuries to others. Okay, so is there real or potential injuries to others? Right? Now, understand here, this is the point. We're not talking, like, just for the sake of this conversation, put aside people who you think are currently sick. We're talking about the vast majority of the population that are not, that don't have symptoms, that do not show, that are not sick, that are not struggling, that have no need for this thing. What they're telling you is that by choosing not to get this, whether or not you're sick, you're putting people at harm, in harm's way. That's what this whole article is about. Coercively forcing people up to 70% to herd immunity, or everyone for that matter, until they reach that. So how can you possibly argue that just by existing in life, that you're putting other people at risk, unless you err on the side of just to be sure, get this thing, even though that's not sure, because that thing is not even proven to do what they say it does and has clearly been shown to have some risks. But just because I'm here and because I'm a body that we know is full of viruses, right? That's how they're framing it. Everybody's a cesspool of danger all the time now, that you're sick until proven healthy, right? This is an illusion, and this is a dangerous ploy going forward. But that's what it's all about, the harm principle, right? When there is real or potential injury to others, and the harm here is great. That's what they're saying. Okay, 3.4 million lives lost to date. Okay, that's first of all talking about the assumption of all the deaths. And we just showed you an article already talking about the fact that, well, a third of those ones aren't even actually from COVID. But here they are just again taking at face value the broad over, and when they report this, they're including all the liberal deaths and all the, you know, the ones where they say, well, they died in a motorcycle accident, but we're going to associate that because he died in 28 days afterward. The UK is still doing that. But we'll just take it at face value. Or the, you know, PCR false positives are on and on and on and on. But because all of these people died to date over multiple years, but how much, let's look at plenty of other things that have a far higher death rate. It's context. But the point is, they're saying it's that dangerous because people died. Okay, so why does that make me, healthy guy over here, risking people's lives by just being out without this injection? You see, there's no logic there other than this thing to simply say that you might. You could be a carrier. You could be dangerous. So take this thing so other people are safe. But wait a minute, didn't they just get the vaccine? So why is it necessary for me to do that so they're safe? It does not make sense. The vaccines that could have avoided the vast majority of deaths are now becoming available to many people. And time is of the essence, right? So they're claiming now that they know for sure that this could have avoided these deaths. You know why that's a completely dishonest statement? Because the trials didn't even try to find out if they stopped death or if they stopped transmission. I just went over this yesterday. I mean, I literally just talked about this. It's right there. I'm not going to go over it again, but I'll include it so you can talk about it. This is back from October 2020. Will COVID-19 vaccine save lives? Current trials aren't designed to tell us. Death was not even looked into. Why? Because as Talzak says in this article itself, the U.S. government didn't pay them enough, and they could have if they just would have paid more and tried to do a bigger trial. They chose not to. Very clear. Isn't that interesting? But because he just thinks vaccines are good at all costs and he knows what his marching orders are, the vaccines could have avoided the vast. Well, of course, his argument with it could have. They could have not, or they could have made them all grow wings and fly. Could have, you know, who knows, right? Could have avoided the vast majority of deaths. No, they don't know that at all. That's an unfair statement, and he knows that, or he doesn't, and he's bad at his job. Take University of Richmond philosopher Jessica Flanagan's comparison between vaccine refuseniks. God, so dumb the way they frame this. Like it's like you're some kind of, you know, anti, you know, contrarian because you just, you don't want to take an experimental unapproved injection. What is going on? And a person firing a weapon into the air. So now we're comparing a person firing a loaded weapon into the sky, which then has a projectile that falls down and could hurt somebody, and somebody who, remember, not the sick. We're talking about people like just the average healthy person that's not showing symptoms, that has no sign of any sickness at all, that is at the prime of their life. They're saying that person walking around without their injection is the same as you firing a gun in the air. Like, you really need to break this down because that's what they're talking about, right? You could talk about the other side of it too. I'll argue the same on the other side of it. The person who, let's say, has the sniffles, or let's say somebody who has COVID-19 or whatever you think that means. Let's just say a PCR test that says they do. Let's say that person is 20 years old. How about that person is 18 and they have a basically 0% risk of actually getting sick and dying from this? Is their risk, is them going out and doing what they want, putting everybody else at risk, all these other people that are already vaccinated that have the thing that they told them will help them not get sick? Okay, think about how stupid that is. Now, that, of course, people will argue different. Oh, well, he could get sick. And the fact that you think that that person should have to restrict their lives because of your fear based on something that you don't understand is stupid. But for this conversation, put aside the person who's sick because they're not talking about that. The whole push here is about the average individual like you or I that are not sick, that are just living their lives and don't trust what's happening. They're telling you that by going outside and walking your dog, you're risking everybody like shooting guns in the air. And by the way, shooting guns in the air is a really dumb thing to argue anyway, because you know what? In places like Tennessee, for instance, that's not against the law. But that's neither here nor there. It says we'd want to stop the shooter because bystanders could get hurt or killed. The same, she argues, applies to vaccinations. What a crazy stretch of the imagination. It's less about the right to refuse than the right to not get infected. So now the right of them to just not get infected anywhere all the time is more important than your rights to live your life, your rights in general, right? So now their fear is more important than your constitutional rights. You see how they've been shifting this the whole time? They're shoving this off the cliff right now. This is because they want to get to the children. They want to get to everybody. They've already shown you this in yesterday's show. Free ice cream, free everything. Like the fact that we saw seven different states across 2 days implement free ice cream for children for vaccination is alarming and scary to me, especially since we have Ubers taking children to get vaccinated when they don't need their parents' consent that the government just said. This is being set up in a way to facilitate the flow of children to get vaccinated. And when you think about the fact that they're saying children don't need the consent of the parent, which, by the way, just look it up. It's all over the place. Fundamentally, that violates their oath. That violates multiple laws. But just because COVID's scary, we don't care, even though it's not. Crazy. Less about the right to refuse than the right to not get infected, especially for those who can't be vaccinated. Right? We just talked about that. Like tiny babies, even though we just told you that there's hundreds of children, babies, all the way down to under 1 year old that are getting vaccinated right now, even though that's illegal. And the FDA says it's not allowed, but it's happening anyway. I can show you on Veyers right now. I will in a minute, actually. Well, I can just show you the top, as you can see right here, under 3 years old. These are deaths, by the way. There are 69 deaths reported. Reported. Not verified, but reported to Veyers. But that's the understand. Whether or not that's actually associated with the vaccine or the injection, realize that these are children under three that in fact got that injection. How was that allowed? It's not. It's against the law, but it's happening. Look at, all the way from 17 down, or technically 12 down, 12 and over now, right? All these deaths are all these from ages varying from under 3 to 12 years old. All of those are illegal and nobody cares. It's incredible. Understand, you could trace this back, right? This is information the government has. You could look this up. You could find out where it was, where they got it, and you could arrest this person for injecting a child with crying out loud. It's all experimental and unapproved. But they're telling you that they're not even allowed because it's only authorized emergency for 12 and older. But they don't care. What does that tell you? Why wouldn't they arrest them? Aren't they breaking the law? They don't care. And that's the point. The immunocompromised are those with severe allergies. But here's the funny point. He's telling you, especially those who can't, like all these people. Well, guess what? Guess what, Clara? Call him out. Where were we? All of these people are already being vaccinated, despite your ignorance on the topic. Babies, I just showed you. Immunocompromised, they're already telling you right here that they are getting vaccinated and that's happening anyway. They just tell you that they should do it and be ready for something. Or severe allergies. Oh, just get your EpiPen? Do it anyway. Well, guess what? None of those are supposed to be happening and they're doing it anyway. That's because it's all, at all costs, it seems. Less about the right to refuse and their fear of something they don't understand. Your rights are now disappearing. Even though they don't disappear, your government's just choosing not to acknowledge them. Alberto Gubiani at Oxford University, who says vaccines are like taxes. That should scare a lot of people. Protection from a disease like COVID-19 is a collective benefit that creates obligations the state can extract from us. Obviously a totalitarian here. None of us have the right to be free riders. You realize this is the most dishonest, ignorant representation of what rights are. Like this is something the government gives you. Of course you have the right to be a free rider. You have the right to live your life however you see fit if you're not harming anybody or not, infringing on the Constitution. The point here is that they're telling you that you don't have the right to exist in this society without doing what your government tells you. It says, like taxes, which, by the way, you could make a valid argument, are unconstitutional. By the way, they are. Vaccines entail a relatively small cost. The reality, though, is since 1932, remember, taxes didn't exist before then. The point is that your government has been on a fast track to authoritarianism. They have become the federal government that people feared at that very table signing the Constitution, or the Declaration of Independence, I mean. The reality is they feared exactly what we are now. taxes weren't something, this is what, you know, this is what we became. But it says, entail a relatively small cost, prevent harm. Oh, right. You're really pretending that taxes prevent harm? Taxes kill more people around the world than anything else you could possibly imagine, because that's where war comes from. But it says, and are roughly a fair way of distributing the burden of a communal response. A communal responsibility? Are we really pretending like it's a communal responsibility to take an experimental injection for something that's not a threat to me? Crazy. But let's go over this real quick. I forgot I wanted to look at this. Here is the harm principle. And this is what I find so funny, is that as they're talking about the harm principle and how that means, you know, well, you know, you can't do things that harm other people. But wait a minute. Is this guy confused about what the harm principle is? Or yeah, funny is they, just like class, just like usual, the mainstream media representing something that they either don't understand or they are being dishonest about. This is the link from their article, by the way. It says, the harm principle is not designed to guide the actions of individuals, but to restrict the scope of criminal law and government restrictions of personal liberty. Oops, that sounds a little different, doesn't it? But of course, the understanding of this is the reality that this is about you not being able to do things that do in fact cause harm for other people. But when you read into this, you find out it's a little more specific than him pretending like your you know, nebulous kind of undefined possible risk of something that is not even that dangerous. That means you have to get an injection that's unapproved and experimental because that might cause something down the line to this person that is supposed to already be protected. They have a vaccine, but who cares? Very smart. But it says for Mill, which is the person we're talking about, the person, the English philosopher, John Stuart Mill, this is the person who first proposed the concept of the harm principle. He said for him, social disapproval or dislike for a person's actions isn't enough to justify intervention by government unless they actually harm someone. You see that? Now, the point is what they're trying to do, and it actually addresses this in the article, is shift from that you're harming someone to what your actions are doing lead to harm, and that's just the same thing. But it's not, though. Words mean something. Definitions mean things. That's why they're trying to change them behind the scenes. Okay? Actually harm somebody. Well, if you go outside without this injection and you're perfectly healthy, how can you possibly pretend that could lead to harm someone? Or, I mean, excuse me, that it is at that moment actually harming somebody. I mean both the things I just said, but we're being specific here. Actually harm someone. All they're saying is the threat that you maybe could lead to you possibly infecting them or somebody else. That's not actual harm, and we all know that. Just because it could be a risk doesn't mean you get to apply this. But it says the phrase, your freedom to swing your fist ends where my nose begins, captures the general sentiment of the principle. Real violence, physical kinetic contact. The point is you can swing your fist, but the moment it hits his face, well, now you're infringing on his rights. But if I'm swinging my fist in a circle and you want to come walk around me, that's not my fault, which is not even a really good analogy for this concept, but it just shows you that there's this obscene, absurd, I keep saying obscene when I mean absurd situation where they're arguing that you just existing without this thing is threatening everybody all the time. It says there's no issue with activities that are harmful to the individual themselves. That harms me. That's also an important point. Right now they're trying to pretend like you're at risk and that matters, right? That you being at risk is something they need to be concerned about because you're a conspiracy theorist and you don't realize you're at risk, right? Well, clearly not, even by the principle that they're talking about. That if I'm allowed to hurt myself. It says if you want to smoke, drink, or use drugs to excess, well, that is your right. Even though the government pretends they have the right over that today too, right? But it says, but if you get behind the wheel of a car whilst under the influence, pass secondhand smoke onto other people or become unpredictably violent on certain drugs, then there's good reason for the government to get involved. Now, here's where people want to pretend this is where that makes sense. But again, if I was somebody who was raging sick with something and I was going out, you could maybe make this argument. I still disagree with the concept of forcing anybody to do anything against their will. But the point is, in this case, you're going out as a healthy individual with no sign of illness, and they're arguing that that is the same as secondhand smoke. You're not smoking a cigarette. This is the argument that you have a pack of smokes in your pocket, and because you may smoke that cigarette, that you're now infringing on their rights. You see how that's not the same thing? This is the way they're trying to pretend that you existing is a problem. You're not smoking unless you're smoking a cigarette. You're not risking somebody unless you're actually at risk. It says the sticking point comes in trying to define what counts as harmful. And here's where they're trying to play this hate speech, weird, you know, manipulative game today. It says he defines, this other philosopher, harms as wrongful setbacks to interests. He would argue you wouldn't be harming anyone by winning a promotion because, you know, like something that takes something away from somebody. The bottom line is real world actions that just lead to frustration, insults are not actually harm. Right. What he says is for Mill, you do not have the right to incite violence because violence could create physical harm. And that's the most, you know, and again, this is another way they would try to create this weird gap where they would say, well, what you're doing leads to this. Well, no, it doesn't, because I'm not out here inciting violence. It's not the same as just existing and having violence break out around you. There's a difference there. It's about action. It's about responsibility. It says, however, he says you do have the right to offend other people. Having your feelings hurt doesn't count as harm. Let's everybody take that in, because there are people right now using the harm principle, such as screaming fire in a building or whatever, are using that to argue that your words causing them to be upset counts as physical violence. This is this childish mentality of this new push of, you know, whatever, social justice and whatever else. It's so ridiculous. But there it is. Again, it's not the reality. Anyway, the point is how funny that's being aggressively misconstrued here, as usual. But as we get down to this point, where we're talking about the burden of communal response, that's where we'll show you this again. 2005, Universal Declaration on Bioethics and Human Rights. This is the United Nations of Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. This is international law. And what they clearly outline, as I've shown many times, under human dignity, human rights. There's a lot more than these 2 points in here. I recommend you read it for yourself to understand what rights you have internationally. But it says the interest and welfare of the individual should have priority over the sole interest of society or science. I read that backwards, but the point is it's very clear. They don't have the right to say that because of everybody else, you have to do this for their safety. It's a literal violation of international law. Science or society. Isn't that interesting? And you know what's most important? Your government knows about this and doesn't care. And by the way, there's plenty of things just like this in U.S. law too. They don't care. And of course, consent. The consent should, where appropriate, be expressed and maybe withdrawn by the person concerned at any time for any reason without disadvantage or prejudice. And that includes any kind of disadvantage or prejudice, such as stopping you from, you know, being able to go in buildings or stopping you from, you know, or prison time, as Bloomberg is arguing. It lists that twice in this document. Please read this. It's important. Bloomberg doesn't care. Your government doesn't care. This, of course, means obligations for the state. For shots to be mandatory, they must be free and easily accessible. Well, they already are everywhere. So that's not the point. Well, what they're saying there is they won't charge you for it if they're going to force it in your arm. Yeah, let's hope so. Crucially, governments would need adequate compensation programs to cover, guess what? Unforeseen adverse reactions, and many don't have them. Isn't that great? So they're telling you your government doesn't have a program to even deal with compensation for things that we literally see exploding right now because they pretend they're not there. But they're admitting that it happens, unforeseen, of course, even though we literally have nothing but seen events right now. They're even including that. So they know that they're going to have problems because that's always there, even if it's a small fraction, which then automatically, aside from the experimental unapproved concept, that they know that they're possibly putting harm on you by forcing it. But they're claiming that it's better for society and that's why it's okay, except that's not allowed. That's against the law. But it says implementation would be messy and pushback likely. Yeah, because they know this is going to be catastrophic. But if we accept that COVID-19 is something we should aim to control before more new and dangerous variants emerge, and there's no sign to suggest that's even close to what's happening, as I think Yeadon calls them scariants or somebody does, because it's a bunch of nonsense, because they know these things happen regularly with anything we're dealing with. And 99% of the time, it's nothing. And every time we see something different, oh my God, new variant, lockdown, vaccines, you're wired, you got your vaccines. Like that's all they're doing. It's irrational. And they know that though. They're using it. But if we should aim to control the entire thing before this happens, these are ethical debates that need to be had. Ethical. He actually has the nerve to use the term ethical, that it's ethical to discuss whether we should force people against their will to take something that's unapproved and experimental just because you're scared, Clara, about things you don't understand. It's pathetic, and it's very alarming. Twisting the arms of citizens works, she says. We know this globally from childhood vaccination campaigns, which are also criminal, in my opinion, the forceful aspect of it. But there's another compelling reason. Fairness. Of course, because equitable, right? Fairness. Because we want everyone to have a chance. Well, guess what, guys? They are. They're damn everywhere, and people are refusing this stuff. So they want to compel everyone simultaneously, so it's fair. What are we, in kindergarten? People have the choice. They're right now coming out. It says selective mandates for some workplaces or to access some state services would disproportionately affect specific groups. Okay, so they care more about disaffecting specific, like this comes down to specifically talking about racial inequalities and the idea that, well, if this happens, then the people over in that country won't have it. This is what they care about. So they're willing to, this is an American writing about infringing on our constitutional rights because they're more concerned about people in Africa having access to something that they don't, if they either realize they're happy not to have or don't understand what that they're experiencing a huge benefit by not having it right now, in my opinion. But you realize that's crazy, right? That they care more about other countries than violating your rights. What does that show you? It says it's easier for the wealthy to avoid small hurdles. It's all about wealth inequality and different things, which matter. But in this context, they're trying to manipulate people that don't see the threat here. It says if there is a burden of inconvenience and risk to carry, we should at least carry it equally. Yeah, well, why don't you guys start? Right? If you want to carry all the risk, and why don't you actually make it equal and fair? Why don't you offer it freely to everybody like you're doing and then let people take it who want to? What you're not talking about is not equal or fair. It is a forced effort because of people like you that are scared. It's just crazy to me. This is madness, what's happening. But don't forget that the places that did do exactly what she's talking about have exponential spikes in vaccination, or excuse me, in deaths after vaccination. Cambodia being one of the places that has one of the highest vaccination rates, and they mask and do everything constantly. And of course, they had an exponential spike immediately following the vaccination, even though they had 0.09 deaths before the vaccination. That's what's happening. And it's everywhere. And I just showed you this the other day. This is the reality. You can go through this for 5 minutes and watch every single location and see that the moment the vaccination was administered, you see an increase where it should have continued to decline. And the point is that that's after, like, it's correlation, sure, but it means something with all the other data we're looking at. And then ask yourself why this has been censored and deleted in multiple locations. It's real data. There's not even context, or I mean, not even a commentary. All you get is context. You just get where it is, what's happening, and when it was administered, and what you're seeing. That's just straight data. Yet it was deleted in plenty of places. Isn't that funny? Well, just to add to that forced discussion, realize that it's already happening, guys. This is in Germany, and I showed you this myself. There's multiple people like this that got forced. And if you watch the full video, which I'll include, they discussed that people came in here from outside location. They didn't even ask what they were there. They didn't, there was no checking, no, like, they didn't tell the people there why they were there, didn't tell them what they were doing. And you could very clearly see that she's being forced right now. And this has been verified. This has been independently verified by RFK Jr. and his group, and they actually verified this in real time. But these people died. They forcefully vaccinated these elderly people without the consent of anybody, including their people that actually have, what do you call it, power of attorney or whatever, forcefully, and 8 of them died. It was all people with dementia. Again, the point about dementia. All of them had dementia. What about all the other people? Why did you pick out only the ones with dementia? And then, it's crazy. This is happening. And this was illegal. This was illegal the moment it happened. And nobody cares. It's on record. There's whistleblowers. There's video. Nobody got arrested. Nobody cares. But sure, they'll arrest people for even speaking negatively about vaccines in certain contexts. But yeah, but we show you a violent crime and no one cares. That person in the video died. And we are being told this does not stop transmission. We are being told that this doesn't work for a lot of people, millions of people. It may not work on millions who have underlying conditions. Research shows people with underlying health disorders or on immunosuppressive medications, which is a hell of a lot of people, mount few antibodies, if at all, to COVID vaccines. leading some to question whether they should do it. And there's also the point of down here where this guy who's talking about it says, well, when he found out patients who never even received therapy, so just average normal people, still did not respond to the vaccine, he was very disheartened. So it's not even creating antibodies for average people. Does it mean it's not for everybody? No, I can't prove that. But it's very clear that it's for a lot. It's not doing anything. In fact, it's only adding to their risk, as far as I can tell, when you include the information about what's happening to people afterward. Regardless, this, combined with not stopping transmission, combined with every other thing we've talked about, means it's irrationally ridiculous to pretend that this will lead to herd immunity, that this is something that needs to be done for everybody forcefully, or that we're all in trouble. It's crazy. And we all know that. They know that, I think, to a large degree, too. But as always, oh, and that's funny. That's actually what I included in that tweet. So I just was making the joke. This is that tweet that I shared originally, showing the Bloomberg article. And I simply said, what an entirely unexpected turn of events. Who could have predicted? Okay, enough Twitter sarcasm. We all told you this was the end game if we refused. Mainstream media openly, again, advocating for forced vaccination using an unapproved experimental injection. This is madness. That's why I wanted to show you. So people that pretend that's not real, that the NIH is telling you these are experimental coronavirus vaccines. This is the Moderna one that they're currently using. This is as of January 12th. Here again is the FDA document where they say very clearly there is no approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. And this is, of course, May 10th, 2021. You can see way down there. I got to move the window again. Forget about that. Yeah, we'll leave it there. But that being the case, I just simply said, remember the good old days when this was still being laughed at as absurd fake news conspiracy theory? Ah, back in the normal days, in quotes, right? The vaccine passport, that's what I was pointing out with Bloomberg. That was fake news. We were censored for talking about it. We were laughed at on Twitter up until, not that I even care, but that's the reality. People going, oh, you're so stupid. That's never going to happen. Right up until like a month ago, even though it was literally happening in Israel. And now it's happening in real time. And I mean, I'll show you that as we go through the latter part of the show. But discussing the forced aspect of it, there's no way this will work without the administration of some vaccine passport infrastructure, which is what's happening. And I already showed you this. You can watch the rest of it. I just want to include this being given to 7 to 13-year-old children and telling them, well, you know, you don't really have rights as long as it infringes on somebody else. Your rights aren't really there. It's just staggering how they're aggressively trying to undermine these things. Here's the actual video. You can watch the full thing if you want. But fewer people today say they would even take the vaccine or the injection now than 3 months ago. And that's because people see what's happening. And all they can do is act like that's because of crazy conspiracy theorists. It says the latest World Economic Forum survey on vaccine confidence shows that on average across 15 countries, vaccine intent is down by 4 points. I find that very strange. Points. What is this, Vegas? I bet you anything there's people betting on this stuff, but it's a weird way to put that, down by 4 points. But it says one of the great stumbling blocks is vaccine confidence itself. Right. And whose fault is that? Pfizer is a habitual offender for lying about safety and lying about drugs, side effects, and lying about everything, who spent $4 billion in covering up their crimes, who's got a $2.5 billion guilt. They were found guilty, or anything else. Or the fact that these things are showing side effects that they really aren't covering, that they're completely suppressing in the media in real time. Everybody's concerned about this, not because of conspiracy theories, but because there's a reason not to be confident in this thing. Or the fact that it doesn't stop transmission. Guys, everybody sees this stuff, even people that think that you would pretend are not, you know, in the know. The current shortfall could be enough to limit the efficacy of the vaccine once it's delivered. So now they're even claiming that by not having enough people take it, that the efficacy itself will not be there. How does that make sense? Maybe they're trying to pretend they mean herd immunity, but you don't use efficacy when you're talking about herd immunity. Let me read it again. The current shortfall, meaning you not taking it, people being afraid to do it, could be enough to limit the efficacy of the vaccine once it's delivered. So if everyone else needs to have it so I'm safe, how does that even make sense? Is there some kind of collective weird kind of meshing going on between everybody with vaccines? I mean, how does that even make sense? Who knows? At the end of the day, people are afraid of this and they're desperate. That's why they're doing this. White House enlists dating apps in vaccine push. COVID vaccinated? And I said, yeah, there's no agenda here at all. Don't be such a conspiracy theorist. This is crazy ridiculous. This is from Disclosed TV. White House now partners with the largest dating apps, Tinder, Hinge, OkCupid, BKL, Crisp with Plenty of Fish. They are drowning in desperation. They're trying to convince people in every possible way in such, oh, they reek of desperation. And that's why people are pulling back. I argue if they would have just done nothing, they probably would have already reached more than they expected. Just because people just go along with things. But this is scary. What they're doing is the equivalent of the same idea of this kind of concept in the UK. You know, these big, scary, they're flashy, you're in danger things where they admitted we lied and we did that because we wanted to make you believe this was what we needed to do. It's the same idea. They're desperate. They're dry. This is so in your face that people are going, this is strange. And they're right to think that. Well, there's more than just dating apps concerns. 160 plus experts, and it continues, are screaming to the world that vaccines from the injections of COVID stuff, COVID experimental, whatever you want to call it, are unnecessary, ineffective, and unsafe, which, by the way, is backed up by the data in this powerful letter. It says, dozens, and this is on May 19th, dozens of medical experts issued a warning this month about COVID-19 injections, slamming the jab as unnecessary, ineffective, and unsafe. Now, these aren't anti-science conspiracy theorists. These are highly credentialed PhDs, medical experts, virologists, immunologists, people that have every right to speak on this stuff. World-renowned people are part of this group. And yet all they can do is say fake news and call them conspiracy theorists. Why can't you see through that, two-party illusionists? Why can't you realize what a childish argument that is? I don't get it. In short, it says, oh, that's interesting. Somebody just, that's really interesting. Let me just look this up real quick. Okay, maybe not. Now, I guess there was some discussion about a fake account on Tinder. Maybe it's true, though. I don't know. Somebody just messaged me saying that they didn't Gates buy Tinder. I didn't see any links on that, but I'll follow up. That would be interesting. That would be hilarious. But it says, where was I here? Let's see. Dozens of medical experts issued a warning this month about COVID injections, unnecessary and unsafe, and likely to lead to, and this is important, foreseeable mass deaths. Experts. That's where I was. I'm talking about these people. That it's just unbelievable how they're undermining people. Like, do you realize that how dumb it is to have somebody like a Cuomo or a Don Lemon or any other person, a Stelter, telling you that these people are conspiracy theorists, these wildly credentialed PhDs that have been doing this for their entire lives, but Stelter is going to tell you that they're fake news? Like, it's just so stupid. But people are trusting authority figures, but God knows why they see them as authority figures. It says, in short, the available evidence and science indicate that COVID-19 vaccines or injections are unnecessary, ineffective, and unsafe. Let's see. It says, this is from the doc. We've talked about them in the past. They actually had some great information. Doctors for COVID-19 Ethics. Actors authorizing, coercing, and administering experimental COVID-19 vaccination are exposing populations and patients to serious, unnecessary, and unjustified medical risks. Doctors for COVID-19 Ethics, a group co-founded by former Pfizer Vice President Michael Yeadon, counts more than 160 medical experts from around the world among its signatories. Other founding members include Professor Bhakti, who Taylor has interviewed, who, by the way, she's about to be interviewing Del Bigtree in the upcoming days. He's a medical doctor, by the way, Bhakti. Former chair of the Institute of Medical Microbiology and Hygiene at Johannes Gutenberg University in Mainz, Germany, and Dr. Wolfgang Woodgard, former head of the Health Committee of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe. You know, it's like, it's just, they call these people fake news, anti-science, conspiracy theorists. How insulting. But of course, the reality is this is very dangerous. And here's what they actually had to say. Contrary to claims that blood disorders post-vaccination are rare, many common vaccine side effects, headaches, nausea, vomiting, hematoma-like rashes all over the body, and this is what Bhakti and Yeadon said in their interviews, may indicate thrombosis and other severe abnormalities, which could be blood clots. Clotting events currently receiving media attention are likely just the tip of the huge iceberg. I was going to look into this, but I just saw a famous soccer player who died from some weird blood clot and some weird heart issue, like right around like November, December 2020. And apparently the doctors involved are being charged with like murder. It's very odd. I'm going to look into it. I'm wondering, like, what is actually going on there? How can he be charged with murder by just trying to treat someone's illness and failing? Is there more involved there? Why is there a blood clot thing tied? I mean, these are questions we should be asking, because as they're pointing out, this is prolific. This is everywhere, especially if you believe, as we have evidence for, that these are being passed along other than just by taking this thing, which there is a lot of evidence for. I'm not saying I can prove that, but we have seen reports of mothers and children having it passed along, of people who have husbands who were vaccinated, who suddenly have their period again after 4 years. I mean, it's very strange. And there's been a lot of this stuff. So the point would be, this is everywhere. So are we going to begin to see some sort of blood clot pandemic? And they would just blame it on COVID-19 long haul. I can guarantee that. But it says, over time, whether months or years, this renders both vaccination and coronaviruses dangerous to young and healthy age groups. That's important. For whom, without vaccination, COVID-19 poses no substantive risk. That's what I keep saying. They're not at risk right now, according to the same people you're supposed to listen to. They tell us. So how then, why then would you give them something that could cause all these risks? And the reality is, this is what we're talking about, the antibody-dependent enhancement in different situations, or molecular mimicry. RFK Jr. talked about this in regard to what they've previously done with past coronavirus vaccines. The idea that once you come in contact with the real issue in the wild, you get sicker than you ever would have without the injection. That's what they're telling you. These experts are telling you that. If you're willing to dismiss that because you think anybody saying this is fake news, then you're lost. They could be wrong. But these PhDs, medical experts, and doctors are all saying the same thing, all 160 of them, and in agreement. But go ahead and listen to Brian Stelter. It says, just as smoking could be and was predicted to cause lung cancer based on first principles, all gene-based vaccines can be expected to cause blood clotting and bleeding disorders based on their molecular mechanisms of action. Sounds pretty sound to me. Consistent with this, diseases of this kind have been observed across age groups, leading to temporary vaccine suspensions around the world. We've all seen this. To pretend like this is not a risk is unbelievably unsafe. Like, that is the medical misinformation. We're watching it happen, and all they can do is go, we don't know for sure. Keep taking everyone. Give them to that children. Since, oh, son of a. Well, I think it was just the quotes. Where was I? It says, since vaccine rollout, COVID-19 incidence has risen in numerous areas with high vaccination rates. That's what this is all about, or this right here. This one. Right? This is showing you that. Like, I really recommend you take in the information. Like, there's some of them, look, you see right there that went a little bit under and out. But that, by and large, these are almost on a dime. The moment that the vaccination began, we see this spike. When it was mostly going down, right? That's important. So going back to this, what they're saying is, since that rollout, we have seen exactly what you just saw. And that data, you can check for yourself. That data is tied right to the CDC and information coming right from the sources we're supposed to be listening to, they say. Risen with high vaccine and high masking rates, by the way, too. Furthermore, multiple series of COVID-19 fatalities have occurred shortly after the onset vaccination in senior homes, right? We've seen that. We've seen just like the one I just showed you of the forced with the German ones. Weeks later, 8 of them died, just like that. Or you see this vaccination and all they do is go, oh, a COVID surge. And 9 people die. It's like, well, you just injected these people. It's insulting to our intelligence the way they're trying to play this. At the very least, it's dishonest and dangerous because they're just ignoring even the possibility that could be there. These cases may have been due not only to antibody-dependent enhancement, but also due to general immunosuppressive effect of the vaccines, which is suggested by the increased occurrence of herpes zoster in certain patients. We already told you that too. Quote, regardless of the exact mechanism responsible for these reported deaths, we must expect that the vaccines will increase rather than decrease lethality of COVID-19. This is based on their scientific expertise. And again, they say the group stresses that it remains technically experimental, a fact that legally speaking, precludes mandatory vaccination. We keep telling you this. As they say, quote, the vaccines are experimental by definition. They will remain in phase 3 trials until 2023. And even if that's not the case, by the way, they are based on what the NIH said. Recipients are human subjects entitled to free informed consent under Nuremberg or other protections, including the Parliamentary Assembly of Council of Europe's Resolution 2361 and the FDA's Terms of Emergency Use Authorization. All of these things we've shown you, all of them show you that what they're doing is wrong. None of them care. That's how wildly off the rails this is. But it is, by definition, experimental. And again, the informed consent document, which I'll include just in case you guys want to read it, it came out in October 2020, right? They've updated it since into March 2021, but it came out December 2020, where they make it very clear that this does not meet informed consent, that they say the specific and significant risk of exactly what these experts are telling you right now. These experts right now in this document that's being dismissed as fake news are telling you antibody-dependent enhancement is being caused by these injections and it's dangerous. And people are going, fake news. But here is science put out on the NIH National Library of Medicine that clearly finds exactly that. COVID-19 vaccines designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies may in fact sensitize the recipients to more severe disease than if they were not vaccinated at all. And they're telling you the specific and significant risk of exactly that should have been and now should be prominently disclosed to meet informed consent. You know what happened? Nothing. We're not meeting informed consent in every possible way, let alone about antibody-dependent enhancement. Is this not science? Where's the mainstream media? I thought they were trusting the science. That's the reality, guys. Right now, it's experimental. Right now, they're not meeting informed consent. And we know this. It's experimental, according to the NIH. We know it's unapproved, according to the FDA. So this is a crime. Legally speaking, it's a crime. Which brings me to this point, which I showed you yesterday to finish out the show today. So where are we at? Hour and a half. Yeah, you know, I'm sure plenty of my viewers are laughing if I told them to be short, but this is short-ish, quick-ish compared to what we normally do. But I just showed you this yesterday. And to be honest, I could have left out a lot of the repetition stuff, but it's always important to bring this back around for people that didn't see it yesterday and to make it solidify. You know, repetition is a huge part of this, guys. We are battling against propaganda. Even for those of us that see it, we still get taken by it sometimes. So repetition is important. It's good to learn. It's good to help you remember these things, the recall, so you can just rattle this stuff off. I'd be willing to bet the people that watch this show are much better at recalling data points than probably any other audience because of the way I conduct my show. Just a thought, my opinion. Try it out. I bet you know quite a bit more than most people just because it's about getting it drilled into your brain. But this is, again, about, I was watching a Tim Truth video. I should have actually included that. But it was about this new dump in Bayer's, right? And this is saying as of this date. So they just did a dump, you know, last week. But the point is, after I looked at it, the last show, it has already increased again. And this is alarming. This is the reported deaths, as you can see, as the age, the vaccine type, it all says COVID-19. And there's a couple inclusions of different ones, but we're not looking at those numbers. It's just the COVID-19 ones. That's all this is counting. And it shows you the year, month, day, and year, month, and day of the death. And it counts how many and the percentage of the total reported adverse events across, I believe. Let's see. No, it's just COVID-19, I'm pretty sure. In any case, that's not the important data. We're just talking about this number right here. The total reports. And what's interesting, I don't know why it's including these random ones here. That's so strange. Yeah, just for people, just so you guys know. Oh, here, I'll go here and do it. And important for those that haven't seen it as well. Just this is an important thing. I'll include this just home link as well so you guys know where to go. And you can see all it is age. Vaccine type, going down here, year, month of death. So that's why I'm confused about why it's including anything other than COVID-19, because I come down here and include COVID-19, right? So it only shows COVID in the current selections. That's strange. Anyway, but I'll leave that open so you guys can know where to go from. But the point was, it's most to be COVID-19, but it seems to randomly include a couple of single digits. But so let's just say for the sake of discussion, you know, -2, -2, -1, there's a vast majority of these are COVID-19 with a few minor individual ads. But that's the point on top of itself, though, right? That 20% of all the total reports that have ever come into Bayer's right now, 20% since it started, are all COVID-19, 20%. How does that not show you there's a problem? I mean, that's just staggering to me. But the overarching point is to come down here and realize that in counting out these little intermittent ones, you know, tens and whatever, but coming down to the bottom again, that we're talking about 17,000 reported deaths. Let's just even say it's 15,000, which we know there's not enough to factor out the smallest ones. 15,000 reports of people dying in a reasonable time after this injection. That's why it's been reported. Half, most of them by doctors for that point. But realize again, going back up to the top, that these are happening under 369 deaths, 3 to 6, 13 deaths. Why are they even getting it? It just blows me away. And the point is, Tim Truth was going through this and just making the same point that it's like, this is getting so over the top that he doesn't even know how to keep up on keeping this organized. And I think that's the entire point. That's why I've actually been pointing out that I'm just looking through, and I think some of these newer reports are just overwhelmed with headache, swelling of the arm. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Didn't it say right very clearly that these are the normal expected ones? They don't have to report those. Right. So are they now doing that just to bury everything under a bunch of headaches and arms that are going to be the majority because that's what it is? So we don't notice how serious it looks. I mean, that's an interesting way this is going. But in any case, this data is being ignored. If you want to, I just reached out to Tim actually to do another interview with him. You should check out his channel because he has a lot of coverage on exactly this. And one more thing to not forget about is on top of that, as they're trying to discuss mandatory vaccinations, realize that this is the Red Cross telling you on their own website, regardless of what the fact check tries to manipulate, this is on the Red Cross and their own website that says very clearly, individuals who have received a COVID-19 vaccination are not eligible to donate convalescent plasma with Red Cross. Only for convalescent plasma. The argument is that you can donate for everyone else, but I would actually want to put that to the test and see what they actually say. But regardless, they're telling you specifically because of certain things I'll show you next, that you cannot donate convalescent plasma if you've had the vaccine. Isn't that interesting? And this just says they've acknowledged an FDA shift in their guidance. Interesting. But here is the video that I just played the other day that seems to be important in this discussion. Oh, I guess I don't have it up. Let me share it here. Oh, come on. Dang it. There it is. Okay.
COVID-19 vaccine. You're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus, but the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
So why would we pretend that it only does it in this one circumstance? Like, that's just crazy to me. Either he's literally reporting to you that the vaccine wipes out the antibodies and that's why it can't be used for convalescent plasma. That is a 100% fair statement. That's what they reported in the mainstream media. That's what the Red Cross says on their own website. But they're fact-checking this like it's fake news because somebody on Twitter said it was all plasma. So they point to that and say, Ryan's lying. That's what they do. That's what fact-checkers do. They broaden out the argument, point to some social media post with 20 shares as if that's where I got it from. No, it's absurd that what they're doing is trying to hide the reality under some fake fact-check. They're telling you that they won't accept it for convalescent plasma. The media reported that's because it wipes out the antibodies. I don't understand why this is not huge. That seems alarming and under the guise that this thing's supposed to develop antibodies. Anybody? I don't even understand why that's not crazy and everywhere, except I do because they're just hiding it from everybody and lying. But bringing this over to the vaccine passport to wrap it up, remember that we just told you that NIH has already changed its app, the app that they swore would never be this because we don't agree in vaccine passports. And then they just update the app, which makes it effectively a vaccine passport. What it is, just like Dell was telling you, the high wire, like I was telling a lot of people were told you this is where it was going to go. Which brings us to the next point, which is in Oregon, in order to go maskless into a business or a church in Oregon, even a church, you must first present proof of your vaccination. And here we are. This is what we told you would happen. This is what we predicted. This is exactly what I said was how it was going to go. Here's what I said. Well, this is the tweet in regard. Well, let's read the first one. First, and let's go to this one even. I said, this, no more masks, fully vaccinated people cannot wear masks, you know, don't have to wear masks. I said, which this truly reveals that this was always a means to an end, in part. It was not about protection, as the science in fact shows it's the reverse. It was about compliance and vaccine coercion. If the jab doesn't stop transmission, how does it make sense to tell them they can stop wearing their masks, right? Then I said, this which was a tell, this is the same telling statement, another telling statement of more accidental, or they delete this? That's strange. Why would breaking 911 delete it? Let me just read it and see if it reminds me what it was. Another telling statement, more of an accidental admission, much to unpack here. Two main points. One, if it's an issue, it shows a lot of people are refusing. Oh, that's right. I can't believe they deleted that. This is the FBI. Man, like that's pretty interesting. FBI says fake. I'm sure this will pop up. FBI warns residents about fake vaccination fraud. This was not just Chicago. This was that was a breaking federal announcement to say that it was they're going to consider it a crime, a federal crime, a felony to fake a vaccine card. And that was just very over the top, which was quite telling. And as I said, in this one, another telling statement, more of an accidental admission, much to unpack here. Two main points. One, if it's an issue that they have to deal with is the FBI, it shows you a lot of people are refusing in general, which we know. And two, this implies your future will include presenting your vaccine credentials often enough that this is necessary. I'm telling you, if you pay attention, they show you what they're going to do. Right? So this, I said that one I just read, and this one down here, which I just read in regard to the masks, create the infrastructure for vaccine passports. This was on May 13th. If we see a seamless transition from everyone must wear a mask to everyone must prove they're vaccinated at every transaction and interaction in order to not have to wear a mask, then this was always the point. And remember, this was then, and then right after this was when Joe Biden tweeted, get vaccinated or wear a mask. It's that simple. And I said, well, there it is. There it is. It's exactly what I was just saying. That's what this ended up being. Right? So now we're at a point where they're telling you, oh, I'll go back to that. And this was this tweet. And I said, called it. This was the plan. Deny vaccine passports, which is what they did. Then act like they have no choice because of the situation they created. Well, now we have to because, well, how are we going to tell? Oops. Like that was an accident. Classic dishonest government tactics. Regardless, they are here. And many of us tried to warn everybody. It's real. It's in your face. And now you have to present this. Now, they're going to get to a situation where they're going to make you, oh, well, here you go. Just, you don't have to carry the card. Just use this app we made for you. There's your vaccine passport. It's the same thing, guys. The card itself is a vaccine passport. There's never been a situation where you've had to mandatory carry a card of vaccination. At the most, it was inputted on a computer that went on some master file about whether or not you had certain things. It was never the concept that they've tried to make this seem normal. It's not. This is an egregious breach of your rights and just about everything else. That's going to lead to more control of your life. And here's a Fox News report talking about this specifically. Proof of COVID-19 vaccination.
Now, case in point, California Governor Gavin Newsom is sending out roughly 2,000 door knockers to show up at citizens' homes to inquire about their vaccination status.
Door knockers. Sending out people to individual doors to knock unannounced, unsolicited. To ask whether they've been vaccinated. What happens if you don't answer? What happens if you repeatedly don't answer? What are they going to do? Right? Is this like some sort of thing where they have a legal right? Are you going to get a welfare check? Are they going to think you're concerned or he may be sick in there with COVID, we'll have to kick the door down, right? Let's pretend like that's not going to lead there if we don't actually respond to this. What if nobody responds and everyone keeps saying no? Like you realize how this can escalate. They're already telling you. I just read you. What's funny is I can say things like that and there'll be someone in the chat that goes, he's being, you know, alarmist. That's a conspiracy theorist. I literally just went over an article where they're arguing that we should force vaccination. You know what I mean? Like we need to realize how real this is and how it's literally happening to us right now. As Gavin Newsom sends out people to your door to intimidate you into getting something that you clearly have already had the opportunity to get and haven't wanted to. So it's not your choice. At the very least, they are not okay with your choice and are going to force and coerce and manipulate you until you go to do what they want.
And the media, well, they're joining in. This is from USA Today. Fact check. Businesses can legally ask if patrons have been vaccinated. HIPAA does not apply. Of course, the prospect.
By the way, there's nothing true about that. Now, HIPAA, you could argue HIPAA doesn't apply in that context, but it doesn't matter because of that. What, that's how they play this. Because that one thing has been shown to be fake, that doesn't apply. Well, what about all the other rules and laws? What about the idea that you don't have the right to force me to tell you about my personal anything? I have a right to privacy. I have a right to privacy in 1,000 different ways. It's discussed and outlined 1,000 different ways. So just because you're in danger or you think you are and you're fearful doesn't mean you get to just circumvent everything we've ever been about. Like, this is how these fact checks work. What they fact check there, if you read the article, is that HIPAA doesn't apply in this context, which then means they are allowed to do it. No, that's not how that works. That's one part of that conversation. Media, including Fox News, in this, it's just insulting in every way. I can't stand to watch this stuff.
Of widespread vaccine shaming, has Dr. Fauci and friends prospect, though, of patrons have been vaccinated. HIPAA does not apply. Of course, the prospect, though, of widespread vaccine shaming has Dr. Fauci and friends very excited.
There's no doubt in my mind or in many of my public health colleagues that we're already starting to see steps in that direction, where independent entities will likely be requiring proof a vaccination before you can either get on a plane or step into a university campus.
Why stop at vaccines?
Yeah, good point, right? Like, why would they stop at vaccines, right? It's a short cry away from saying, well, this is now important, right? Well, we've now decided as the government, without your input, that this is something we should all be concerned about, which means then society is at need and your needs are trumped by the need of society. So let's just force anything else. How about we start forcing certain kinds of food to make you healthy? How about we start forcing you certain types of regimens to make sure that you're this or that, right? It's not a far cry. This is an obvious extension of what's already happening. This is medical tyranny, guys. That's what this is. And it's alarming. And what's even crazier is the people that think they're going along with this because they're good citizens are the very people that are going to lose their minds when it comes back to bite them. But remember, despite what they're saying, let's just say you're in a situation where this ends up happening. If you get sick, if anything happens to you because of that injection, as OSHA is now telling you, United States Department of Labor, if I require my employees to take a COVID-19 vaccine as a condition of their employment, are adverse reactions to the injection recordable? If the answer is, if you require your employees to be vaccinated as a condition of employment, then the adverse reaction to the COVID-19 vaccine is considered work-related, meaning you can sue them for damages. You can sue them for, or at the very least, you can claim unemployment and they have to pay you while you're off because you're sick. That is something that will make restaurant or anything, businesses pause. Thank you. Find somebody out there. I mean, this is, why wouldn't anybody talk about this? Because they don't want you need, they want everybody out there to lean in to forcing this thing on everybody. And here to end is the most alarming part. If you thought it was before, you're wrong. This is the most alarming part. We've already talked about New York State and different things they've already implemented. Here is one. This is from the 2021-2022 legislative session, Bill A416. This relates to the removal of cases, contacts, and carriers of communicable diseases who are potentially dangerous to public health. This gives them the legal right, if they just believe you might be a danger to the health of society, to remove you from society. It's that simple. Now, you could argue that that just means that you're currently sick, but how about we get to a point where they begin forcing vaccination and people begin resisting? And then you argue that people that are just simply not vaccinated are actually a threat to people in real time, which, by the way, is what they're already arguing. Well, then that applies under this bill, because then you could argue, well, they're currently a threat, which means we then have to remove them from society because they're and until they're no longer a threat. And then what would make you no longer a threat if you're not even sick? Ah, being vaccinated. Oh, and guess what? They already said you could be forcibly vaccinated. So you see how this will go? We have this turnaround of camps, bringing people off the streets and injecting them against their will and putting them back out on the streets. Or some kind of medical tyranny of medical kidnapping where they can just bring you in for any reason, or groups for any reason, if they claim that they think you might be sick, are sick, or could eventually get sick, or might just be doing things that make people unsafe in the context of health. I'm not making this up. Let's read it for ourselves. Now, what's interesting is this has been introduced before. That's the point. And it's just being trying to be jammed in again under the 2021-2022 session. This is January 6, 2021. An act to amend the public health law in relation to the removal of cases, contacts, and carriers of communicable diseases who are potentially dangerous to public health. Potentially. And who gets to decide that? Well, the government of New York, of course, because we trust them, don't we? Look how it went well for them so far over there during this whole thing, right? They get to decide that you might be dangerous. You see how opaque that is? Because they say you are potentially dangerous to public health, which could mean literally anything they want it to mean. This might as well be the Patriot Act of Health. And it's saying that if you're potentially dangerous, meaning they're already telling you that without that injection that you're potentially dangerous. So there you go. It's easy as that. Now, will it be used for that? I can't say that. But can it be? Of course it can. Historically speaking, it's almost a guarantee. Removal of detention of cases, contacts, and carriers who are or may be a danger to public health. The provisions of this section shall be utilized in the event that the governor declares, guess what, a state of health emergency. Too late. It's already there. So the moment this is real, they're already in a state of emergency. So guess what? They already have the powers to detain you for no reason. Right? This is unjust detainment. I mean, this is indefinite detainment. This is exactly like being arrested without charge. You're supposed to have constitutional rights. Just because pandemic or because fear doesn't mean those things disappear. But look at what they're doing. These are treasonous acts you're seeing. To arrest you because they think you might be sick without any verification, without anything other than saying, look, we think he might be sick based on these arbitrary set of factors, that he was around people, that something else happened. We're going to arrest him, put him in a prison, isolated from everybody, which is almost crazy in and of itself. And even in prison, you're not isolated. That's a punishment in prison. In this case, you'll see, we'll get to it. They're going to put you isolated until such time as they decide that you're no longer a threat. What if they put you in that prison because they decide not being vaccinated is a threat, and then you just refuse forever? I'm sure they could just hold you down and force you, but just in this context, in the sake of conversation, it'll go on forever. As they say, they will keep you until they decide you're no longer a threat in isolation. What do they call it? Prison. In the hole, right? Now it says, and this just kind of goes on. It says, upon determining a clear and convincing evidence that the health of others is or may be endangered by a case, contact, or carrier, or suspected case. So you realize they can look at you and be like, we think you could be sick because you're not vaccinated, which means that may cause a danger to somebody. It's simple as that. It's outlined right there. And meanwhile, both the government of New York and everybody else are currently arguing that not being vaccinated is the threat. Realize how dangerous this is. Now it says, and it may pose an imminent and significant threat to the public health, resulting in severe morbidity and high mortality. Well, that's already done because they're already pretending that that's what COVID-19 is. Right. This is sort of the reason this has been done from a long time ago. They've already written this in the context of COVID-19. So they already decided it's high morbidity, severe and high mortality. So the moment this passes, all they need to do is say you're not vaccinated. And that results in the possible risk of exactly what we already think is happening. Easy as that. And it says the governor or his delegee may order the removal and or detention of such a person or of a group of such persons. So now you've got a protesting group outside. Uh-oh, we think somebody might be sick over there. So let's arrest them all because they might be at risk of public health. Now, I just realized when I do say that, somebody was commenting the other day, I probably say that a lot, but it's the point, right? They're like pretending like, oh no, look over there. We have to deal with this problem. This is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So a single person or a group of people, and it says, this is weird actually, it says, or a group of such persons by issuing a single order. So you can issue a single order and arrest an entire public protest. Identifying such persons either by name or by a reasonably specific description of the person or the group. I mean, really think about how crazy that is. This guy can be like, that's just that group in black over there. Get them all. Right? What if there's another group dressed in black across from there protesting against that other group in black, right? It's subjective and arbitrary. It's about unlimited and untapered power, unfettered power. That's what this is. Such persons or group of persons shall be detained in a medical facility or other appropriate facility. So a medical prison. This is medical tyranny. It says after the department determines that such persons is no longer contagious, that's when you get to let go. When they decide, we think you're no longer contagious. But what if you're not sick at all? Right? It says that such a person is not infected with or has not been exposed to such a disease, or if infected with or exposed to such a disease, no longer is or will become contagious. Okay. So if you're not injected with the experimental unapproved injection, they'll argue that, well, you can still become contagious. So you can't leave until we inoculate you. Goes on to say that the person is not infected with the disease or that such contact no longer presents a potential danger to health of others, which you would, because if they claim you're not injected, then you're still a threat to others as they're currently claiming. There you go. Over and over, they vindicate this or they state this. Be detained in a manner that is consistent with recognized isolation and infection control principles in order to minimize the likelihood of transmission, infection, and such persons to others. So indefinite, as long as they think you're still a threat, you'll be in isolation. Again, in prison, that is the most extreme, well, I guess, as we're supposed to pretend, the most extreme punishment. And yet you're going immediately in isolation for as long as they deem necessary as a free American citizen who's supposed to have constitutional rights. Now, there's a lot in here that I recommend you take the time to read. It is alarming. And they're lying to you about all of this. As we know, they're lying to you to scare you into doing things, and it's still happening. Hopefully we can see past this. It's time to push back. Time to push back, guys. If we continue to allow this to go forward, we are not going to, there's going to come a point where we will not have the ability to fight back. This is the time. I am not advocating for violence. I never am, but it is now or never. So help me fight. I love you all as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. I was trying to find the one. There it is. Stay vigilant.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective?
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride public transportation, sir.
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right of freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's non-essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced. eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself. But what's happening now as unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look, he ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours is pulled under your nose.
There's a note that says,
I don't have to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
Just do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right?
Listen.
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.